6:20 p.m., January 13th.
Jim Jowd, you motherfucker. Goddamn Dan Morton, the law enforcement community's got your number. We're waiting on your motherfucking ass. Just come on, you little big bad son of a bitch.
End of messages.
This is Jim Giles, and you're listening to Radio Free Mississippi. Some unknown individual asked me, why are you anti-nigger and anti-Jew earlier this morning? After the break, and I gave some response. I can't remember what it was. That's a good question. That's a real good question. That is the question. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to repeat that question about 15 trillion times and then answer it. Let me give you one answer, though, right off the top of my head. After I got off the broadcast, maybe an hour, two and a half hours, something like that, I'm on the telephone with my mother. She lives next to me. She lives across from where my grandmother and grandfather's house is. Up walking our road is a nigger. Young nigger, never seen him before. He's a stray. He's come to visit the niggers down the road who live in the house and the trailer. Used to, white people lived in there. And they were given the house somehow by the government, the nigger government. Excuse me while I don't use these acronyms. Excuse me while I don't use the language that I'm coming up with. I'm just telling you a quick, I'm giving you one answer to that question, why I'm anti-nigger and anti-Jew. Niggers walking up my road, our road. It's hot as, it's real hot. Got a big afro, got one of those combs that you stick in your hair. He's got it stuck in his hair. I guess his age, late teens, early 20s. Bright red shirt. Never seen him before, walking up alone, looking my way, our way. Got a comb in his fro. Got a gold chain around his neck, smoking a cigarette. He's looking for a way in. He doesn't know who I am. He's been told who I am, but he's been sent up here to look my way. That's why I'm anti-nigger. I ain't gonna finish. I'm gonna bite my tongue and not finish the details of it. Huh? You ask me why I'm anti-nigger? Huh? You think I've toned it down here? You're real mistaken. They're nothing but ripping hyenas. Huh? You want to get real. Get ripping real here. Why am I anti-nigger and anti-Jew? Yeah. You know, that kind of emotion, though, hasn't been tied to a program that's organized, dedicated, persistent, consistent, into talking dummies into why they ought to be anti-nigger as well. They know it. They know it in the heart of their hearts. The Huntsville, Alabama Tea Party guy, he sent me another email today. He apparently wants to start an email. I'm too busy. I don't have the patience to cultivate and work somebody in to being a Jan. You're going to have to pick it up on your own. Once I get you here, then you're going to have to be dedicated. I'm not going to spend time cultivating on a one-on-one email. No way. Too many people out there to get to. If y'all listen to that conversation I had with him. Anyway, I'm not going to repeat it. I'm right at this precise moment. I'm too mad, so I'm going to try to cool down. He sent me an email. I haven't even bothered going to the link. I'm familiar with the story. It has to do with the Black Panthers. And he told me I might find that interesting. It's all over the whiteboard, so to speak. Yeah, I'm familiar with that. I'm not replying to the email. He asked me why I'm anti-nigger and anti-Jew. One of the reasons, well, I better not go back there. I'm too hot right now. That question needs to necessarily be posed time and time again. And I'll answer it again, John or Mullen or Rob or whatever the rip your name is. You ask me why I'm anti-nigger and anti-Jew? You don't think I have an answer? You don't think I have multiple answers? You don't think I can write a ripping a library about why I'm anti-Jew and anti-nigger? My dogs are barking. 1 second. All right, I can also answer that question about why I'm anti-Jew, and I can fill up the world with it. I can fill up the freaking world with my words about why I'm anti-Jew, and I'm just getting warmed up. Come on, Jimmy. You just getting warmed up. You're like Al Pacino. You just getting warmed up. Settle down, Jimmy. Relax. Stop shouting so much. Get in a better mood. That reminds me, too. You know how I said just now, I'm just getting warmed up, and I played that piece, that speech from that movie. I can't even remember the name of the movie, but it was with Pacino. Anyway, if y'all listened this morning, you know what I'm talking about. And what that has to do with, I dislike imitating anyone. I like being original. And I got to thinking, I wanted to give myself credit for the line, follow me. Now, I cannot consciously remember ever looking that up and saying, well, that sounds pretty good, so I'm going to imitate what Fort Benning boys do. No, no way. That never happened. But, boy, that's a real big coincidence that I would use that term. I mean, it would be a coincidence. Maybe it is, but it also may be the case that somehow, somewhere, some way, like the movie I watched with Al Pacino, I heard I'm just getting warmed up. Well, maybe I heard follow me. That's very possible. Certainly possibility. And so, in order to ensure 100% originality. Because I'm coming up with new language here, new speech, new ways of communicating ideas. I'm going to abandon the follow me. And I'm going to end my broadcast just prior to the theme music coming on with AJAM. Or possibly in the days ahead, other terms that I may coin. But Ajan, anti-Jew, anti-nigger. And see, when I'm through having said it as many times as the... See, this is another word I'm flirting with. Well, heck, I'm not flirting with it. I'm in love with it. Jan Media. I'm going to stop calling them the mainstream media. I'm going to start calling them the Jan Media. Jan, J-A-N, that stands for Jewish and Nigger Media. The Jan Media. See, it's quicker. And two, they've so destroyed those words, you can't use them effectively. Now, the Jan Media, now I'm going to repeat over and over, Jewish and Nigger Media. Just like I'm going to repeat over and over, Ajan, anti-Jew, anti-Nigger. But I'm going to start concluding my broadcast with Ajan. Ajan, it's quicker, it's mine. It's no doubt it's mine. There is a tiny bit of doubt that follow me is mine. I can't recall looking it up. I can't recall having ever heard it. I just blurted it out one time in an email to a group of people I used to communicate with. Said, follow me. Just blurted it out. Now, it may be the case that somehow I heard it in a movie, heard it and saw it somewhere. I don't know. We're going to fix that, though. I don't like copying nobody. I like originality here. Ajan, I'm going to start concluding my broadcast with Ajan, boy. Don't you know? Ajan. 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 Lots of other words that will have to be connected to that in order, you know. One word, one phrase cannot constitute, a new language. But it's a start. You got to start somewhere, boy. Okay. I've got that cued as far as why I'm anti-Jew. And that'll be coming up here in just a minute. Now let me go to just a new page I've got on my website. It's a cash flow statement. And in parentheses, I've got draft. I've got the donations to date, and I've got three bills that are coming due. And I'm not going to harp on this, but, you know, necessarily, it will just kind of create a record here. And this is a good thing. I need to do this because my financial arrangement is real important right now. More important than it's been in a long, long time. And one thing about the ATT bill, For some reason, they did not bill me 1 month prior, so that's two bills. Normally, it's like half that amount. It's right at $101, $102, something like that. $101, $102 per month. But in July, it's for the month of June and for the previous month, April. I mean, May. That 207.83 is for May and June. All right. Now, as to why I'm anti-Jew, let me, whatever your name was, you ask me why I'm anti-Jew, okay. If you go to the, come up. If you go to the New York Times website, you'll see, if you search, Brendan Morocco. And it tells the story of the first infantryman who lost all four limbs, both arms, both legs, and survived. An IED, improvised explosive device. And the, I'll figure out a way. These are too many new words for me right now. I've got to transition into it a little bit more slowly. The Jewish paper, the New York Times, they're of course, lauding his spirit now. They're trying to pump him up psychologically. And this is a reflection about what you can do with the human mind. I mean, depending on the input, you can take a kid who's lost both his arms and both his legs. And what do they say? They say his spirit is intact. That's a lie. That's as big a lie as the Tea Party gentleman over in Huntsville saying he would support his daughter if she were to choose to marry a nigger. But with enough propaganda, with enough BS, now you believe your spirit's intact when you don't have any arms or legs, and you can believe that you support your daughter marrying a nigger. I mean, that's how malleable the mind is. So I'm anti-Jew because this boy doesn't have any arms or legs, and I blame the Jews for it, Leroy. Whatever your name is, that's why I'm anti-Jew. He ought to have both his arms and both his legs right now. He was sent over there. He was totally, forget the oil thing, forget the terrorist thing. This is a Jewish deal over there, boy. They're surrounded by hostile Arabs. They're surrounded by people who would like to drive them into the sea and kill them all. Kill them all. See, I'm not the only one talking about that. Them Arabs, they really want to do it. They would probably have already done it were it not for the West, and certainly if it were not for the USA. You ask me why I'm anti-Jew? I'm anti-Jew because this boy doesn't have any arms or legs. I blame the Jews for the loss of his arms and legs. Now, you can say, well, heck, we went over there for 9/11. Them terrorists, they came over here. Baloney. That's a big kettle of fish to solve there. And, boy, you know, this is a tough thing. Paul Craig Roberts used to be in the Reagan administration, hung up his pen, at least for a while. He may be right. I think he came out of retirement. He's so disgusted he had to start inking things again. But he at least put his pen down for a little while because he said that the most fundamental thing out there to describe the world we live in is the 9/11 attack, and nobody will take a close, hard look at it as to who actually did it. There's strong suspicions on Paul Craig Roberts' part, a totally balanced individual, somebody with a PhD in economics, somebody who Ronald Reagan, the President of the United States, hired to be his, I think, assistant U.S. Secretary of Treasury or something like that. Or maybe he was the, Dr. Roberts, I ain't going to do you that way now. I'm gonna tell him exactly who you are. And two, I'll check out, have you written anything lately? Paul Craig Roberts. Is an economist and a nationally syndicated columnist for Creator Syndicate. Let's see. He is a former editor and columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Business Week, and Scripps Howard. Where's the part about, I'm overlooking it. Here it is. He served as an assistant secretary of the Treasury in the Reagan administration, earning fame as a co-founder of Reaganomics. All right, that's one answer. But I'll continue to pose that question that Rob or John or whoever posed to me. You asked me, why am I anti-nigger and anti-Jew? Well, those are good questions. I'll continue to pose them rhetorically here. Well, not even rhetorically. I'll continue to pose them about 15 trillion times, and I'll answer them for you 15 trillion times. That's a good question, valid question. I've got answers. Huh? You didn't stump me there, John, or whatever your name is, Rob. No, that's not a trick. You know, you thought maybe you'd stump me. No, I got a lot of answers for those questions, and I'll continue to ask them, and then I'll answer them. Huh, this is interesting. Subject: Jesus said, follow me. King James Bible: but Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. Matthew 8:22. Huh, that's interesting. I'm very mercurial. What do you call it? Mercurial. How do you pronounce that word? Mercurial. I'm like mercury. Mercurial. Mercurial.
Mercurial.
Mercurial. Liable to sudden, unpredictable change. So I'm going back to follow me. That was enough. See, I was worried it was something totally militaristic. And since God and Jesus are talking to me here daily on a regular basis and inspiring me, I'm of the strong suspicion that I was inspired by God and Jesus to just blurt it out, follow me! So I think I'll have to stick with that. Yeah. All right. Good. All right. All right. What you got now, Jimmy? Let me move that. I'm going to keep this email in a handy spot. Why are you anti-nigger and anti-Jew? I'd move that aside, and I'm going to put it back in a prominent location. All right, someone, an important person, has suggested, they've given me an interview idea. That's the subject of the email. And then let me read it. Start. This black Willie Harrington against Jewish Steve Cohen story would seem ideal for your show. Race and religion and politics. Cohen calls a flyer anti-Semitic because it says Jews think Christians are crazy for believing in the Trinity. You know that WREG.com? That I've been there before. Wonder who that is. Where is that? Is that up in New York area? WREG. No, it's Memphis. That's interesting. I was expecting that to be up New York way. I'll look into this. But not right now. I've got it queued. Okay. Mr. Renner, I hope I'm not breaching any confidentiality, but I got so much stuff backed up here. I don't mean to show any disrespect whatsoever, but I've spoken recently with Eric Glebe and David Duke and Dr. David Duke, and they were wanting to talk with me private, and I'm not necessarily going to explain why I'm not going to do that, but this is where I'm at now. Anybody out there, I'm eager and willing and able to talk to anybody, but not in private. I just want to talk with folks live, online, operational, and while I'm recording. So when I read this email from you that I received today, I'm not being disrespectful at all. That's just where I'm at now and probably where I'm going to stay. Subject: hello again, Mr. Giles. As far as I know, we are still on good terms. Stop. Absolutely. We are still on good terms. Start. I am starting to listen to your show a bit again. It is very impressive that you are still going strong. I am laying a bit low after some trouble with the law and with the Antifa in Chicago. Stop. I don't know what Antifa is. And it's curious, the trouble that you mentioned with the law, I'd sure like to learn what that is in a conversation here, right here at Radio Free Mississippi. Start. It would be good to talk with you again. Your old Skype contact seems not to work, or does it? Stop. It does work. It's been a while since I've heard from you, so let me see if I can't find. Let me just make sure. Let me check on one thing. I tell you what, Soren, if you listen to this, just shoot me a Skype, and you know how you shake hands. It says it's busy. I don't know what's going on there. I'll reestablish a contact. That way we can, if you want to talk with me, that is live, online, and, you know, in a broadcast here, I'd be. And if you're listening now, just come on and call in right now or Skype in. My Skype is jimmy.d.giles. For y'all who don't know who Soren Renner is, I have interviewed him last year, and I've still got the interview. I'll be posting it along with the other interviews I did in 2009. Start. It would be good to talk with you again. Your old Skype contact seems not to work, or does it? Stop. It does work. Voicemail failed. Stop. Again, just shake hands with me. Shoot me a Skype message at Jimmy, J-I-M-M-Y dot D dot Giles, G-I-L-E-S. Start. I wonder what has happened with Chain. Stop. Me too. I was hoping maybe you could tell me. Start. I had to cut off contact with him months ago because he was starting to focus his paranoia on me. Stop. Well, that doesn't sound like too much fun. Start. Winter's Bone is a good new movie. All white cast too. Stop. And he provides a link to Winter's Bone. I've never heard of that before. Okay, Mr. Renner, we're still on good terms. Love to talk with you. Just send me a Skype. But I'm not into private communication at all. No offense to you directly, because that's my policy across the board. All right. What else you got there, Jimmy? You know, I was looking at some old email. This John Walker, this person, he sent me a bunch of email. I got into another folder. I hardly scratched the surface. Whoever this was, they were sending me a bunch, and they just apparently got disappointed. I said the wrong thing, and dang it. Old Johnny turned on me. That's just part of it. But I assure you, being mean toward me, that ain't a way. That ain't gonna be. That's not a working. That ain't gonna work. I ain't going to come back to you and say, well, dang, gosh, I sure am sorry. Let's try to work this out. No, that ain't my style. You turn on me, it's curtains, boy. I'm nice and respectful to everybody who's nice and respectful to me. But if you stop being nice and respectful, well, guess what? All right, I'm looking for a particular email now. Okay. It was a long morning this morning, and I've got a broadcast to think about in the morning. And I don't want to spend myself too much this evening, but before I get off, I'm going to try my new girlfriend, Mona. Mona, you're my new girlfriend over the internet, and let's just see if you're there. I know that makes John mad because he thinks you work for the the Joint Terrorism Task Force. But Mona has something that she wants to talk about, so let's see if I can't reach her. And that's going to be pretty much do it for this evening.
Hello?
Mona?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Jim.
Oh, hi, Jim. I just finished a new video.
A new video?
Yeah, it's featuring you talking to Edgar Steele's neighbor.
Okay, well, that sounds good.
Are you on the air?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted to address the matter that you found important this morning in your email to me about Mr. Kirchheimer.
Yes. Well, I just wanted you to know I'm working on the project and that it's hard and I'm not getting very far and I probably won't be able to finish it by the time of the trial, which is, as I understand it, August the 10th. August the 10th, which only gives me maybe 30 days to finish it. And you have to have 14 days notice to all parties, which means even if I did it Monday, the judge could not see it until 2 weeks from Monday. But that's not what you wanted to talk about. You wanted to talk about the good aspects of it.
No, I just wanted to give you the floor because you felt like it was important and you wanted to address that matter as far as
No, I wasn't trying to get you to call me. I just wanted to let you know that I'm here, that I was listening, and that if you wanted to call me, you could.
Okay. Well, I'm interested. You know, I gave that some more thought. And it's not unusual down here, or let me put it this way, the local paper is the Clarion Ledger, and they've got a First Amendment lawyer that works for them, and anytime a judge tries to, you know, cut something off, do a gag order, their big shot lawyer will come in and, you know, cite the case law, and before you know it, this yahoo judge is, you know, say, okay, you can have it.
Wow.
I don't know if that's the way it works up there in Brooklyn or wherever Turner is.
Well, I'm sure it does. It's just that I'm not lawyer enough to do it. I did find, you seem to be closer to where I'm trying to get to than I am. I got as far as finding People versus North Carolina versus 2006 Duke University's men's lacrosse team. Are you familiar with that case?
The rape case?
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of hanky-panky, very much like what we're seeing with Hal Turner's trial, including one of these massive gag orders. And they did challenge it in that case, and I don't know what the judge did, but we all know that the prosecuting attorney got disbarred for his misbehavior, including that gag order.
Yeah, that prosecutor reminds me of a prosecutors down here in Mississippi in Rankin County. He knew his client was the person on behalf he was prosecuting was lying, but he continued to prosecute the case.
Mm-hmm. And they also point out in this case that one of the things the prosecutor did that got him disciplined was that he withheld exculpatory evidence from the court. In this case, it was DNA evidence that absolutely proved that the men on the lacrosse team were not guilty. So again, here in Hal Turner's case, we have the same situation where they're refusing to allow in evidence of Hal being working for the FBI.
So
there's two things here we've got. We've got the element of exculpatory evidence and the element of this gag order.
But I didn't think you were... Have you now been able to locate the second trial? This on Pacer?
Yeah, I found it. I found it.
That you obviously, because you're talking about not admitting in... how do you know they're not allowing in exculpatory evidence?
Well, my main source is Hal's website, where he talks about what they've done and how in the first trial the prosecuting attorney said one thing about his relationship to the FBI, and in the second case he turned around and said it was completely irrelevant and it couldn't be let in. I don't know how that progression took place, but I can't off the top of my head say that I've seen it in the court record. I can't say that.
How lengthy is the docket that you've now located, and how did you locate it on Pacer?
It's real good. It's pretty good. I found out that Brooklyn is the Eastern District of New York. I went into the Eastern District of New York, and I think somehow I got the case number first, and then it was easy from then on.
But, you know, you would think in Pacer you could just put in Hal Turner's name and it would pull it up, but it wasn't for me or you.
I think that's probably because we just got stymied by the huge number of Hal Turner cases throughout the entire system. But when I was able to narrow it down to the Southeastern District of New York, then it was easy.
Can you give me the case number on that?
If I can find it. Let me think where I put it. Let me see if I've got it right here. I think I have it here. It's 1:2009-CR-00650.
00650.
Yes.
That's 1:2009-CR-00650.
Yes.
Okay. And what is there anything else interesting in the docket?
I was having a good time yesterday. The latest motion is a motion that the defense is bringing to get the court to exclude references to his racial beliefs, and that has yet to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me again this business about that? How do you contend that the prosecution is not providing the defense with exculpatory evidence? How do you know that other than from Hal Turner's family?
That's all I know it from.
Okay.
But they did point, I think, yeah, that's all. I can't give you a better citation on that.
See, to me, if Mr. Kirchheimer would be filing a motion for disclosure if he really believed evidence of the FBI asking him to, go after those. You see what I'm saying? If Mr. Kirchheimer thought that was exculpatory, he had already filed a motion with the court to tell the prosecution to turn it over.
Or he may be subpoenaing them as a witness. He probably is.
He has the right. FBI.
He knows what he's doing. The other guy didn't. The FBI won't be able to dodge this new lawyer.
Because I would have you been able to look in that docket? Have you read the gag order?
I have not been able. I'm looking. That's my next step, is to find the actual gag order, so that we can refer to it in the motion. I think it goes back to an earlier case. Apparently, the earlier case created the gag order, and it just got included in the new case, the third case.
Do you recall having seen that gag order?
No, I don't.
Case. I know I'm bombarding you with a bunch. Let me just...
No, that's fine.
You're a quick lawyer. Somebody said that you believe in Freemasonry. Is that true?
Yes, it is. And I would like to be able to explain, at least be allowed to answer questions before I get burned at the stake, like my father said I would.
And bad people, Mona. We're going to talk you, try to talk you out of it.
You'll never be able to, because my whole family line comes from 32 degree Masons.
Oh, boy, they're going nuts now. They don't like you already. You're going to send them through the roof. See,
then let them ask me a question and give me 60 seconds to answer.
All right, let me ask you just a question. That's very prominent down here in Mississippi, and almost every member of the Mississippi legislature is a Mason, and there seems to be a huge conflict between the oath they take to defend the Constitution on the one hand, and then yet they're part of this secret society where they keep secrets and they have an allegiance to it. There's a dual loyalty there that's in competition and in conflict with their principal oath to the Constitution and to serve those people that they're supposed to be representing, not that secret organization that seems to be kind of a money-making deal.
Well, I made you mad. Let me say that I think the real schism, the real war between the two parties is between the Masons, who are Johnine Christians and humanists following the teachings of St. John, as opposed to the fundamentalist Christians, which you have a lot of down in the Bible Belt, who follow St. Paul, and they are called Pauline Christians. The Pauline Christians say a man should not follow his own conscience because he will be influenced by Satan, and he should follow what the Bible says because the Bible was written word for word, literally to be understood as being written by God. The Johnine Christian says the Bible was written by men, and man must listen to his conscience and put that above all else. In the Catholic Church, there is one group of people. There's also a split in the Catholic Church between the people who say, listen to your conscience and listen to your priest, who will interpret the Bible for you because the Bible was written by God. In the Catholic Church, the people who believe in listening to your conscience, again, the fundamentalists would find this opening the gates to Satan, because man is flawed. But in the Catholic Church, those who believe in following the conscience are the Jesuits, another group of people who are hated, as are the Freemasons, and for the same reasons. So the Jesuits and the Masons represent a class of Christians who put the conscience, the individual conscience, above what the Bible tells them to do. And they believe, therefore, that morality can change from circumstance to circumstance. The fundamentalist says there can be no change in morality because when God speaks, that's the end of the question, and that God speaks in the Bible. Now, the reason that the Masons were the most powerful group to hold this belief in listening to reason and conscience is because they couldn't build those castles, museums, and churches in Europe and England without throwing out biblical laws of physics and instead adhering to the natural rules of physics, because the biblical rules didn't work. You couldn't build a house unless you were allowed to say 2 and 2 equals 4. See, they had to be rationalists. And that's how and rationalists had been burned at the stake for centuries, including Galileo, who insisted that the earth went around the sun, not the sun going around the earth. See, I don't know what you call that, scientific reality or something, scientific principles. And the church has always said scientific principles don't mean anything to us. We are dealing with biblical principles. You're not allowed to believe anything that disagrees with this Bible. For example, if it says in the Bible that during the Battle of Joshua the sun stopped for 2 hours, you have to believe that, or you're not believing the Bible. And if you don't believe all of the Bible, you might as well throw out the whole book. But the rationalist, Mason, who built all these castles, museums, and churches, says, I'm not going to throw out this book, because there's a lot of information here that I really need to know, like how our ancient ancestors felt about God, who God was to them, who was the God that Jesus revealed, and why was Jesus crucified for revealing the God of love. And so that's basically the difference between the Masons and everybody else, is that the Masons are rationalists.
Well, you seem to know that quite well. I can't say that I understand that which you laid out, but you laid it out. See, that it seems to be quite complicated. What about just my concern about loyalty? You know, that now, is there any difference between Masonry and Freemasonry? Is that the same thing?
No, there isn't. And the Masons call themselves the Masons. They don't refer to themselves as Freemasons or Freemasonry. Somebody thinks there's a difference. I don't think there's a difference.
Mm-hmm. They're secretive, though, aren't they?
I don't consider it secretive for people to form a private club and refuse entrance to members unless they like them, and then build their buildings and put them all over all the cities and say, this is who we are, and if you want to join us, you're going to have to apply, but we don't have to take you if we don't want to. I call that a private club.
Mm-hmm. My stepfather was a Shriner. He tried to...
Oh, my gosh. I don't have any Shriners in my family.
What is that? What is a Shriner?
The Shriner, I don't know. I'm only saying what I've heard. I have no personal connection, but as I understand it, the Shriners are kind of the next step from the Masons, and they do a lot of philanthropic work and have put up a lot of hospitals.
Yeah, my sources, they always said they collected, they earned a lot off that reputation of those hospitals, but they really made a lot more than they gave out, was the basic idea there. He tried to get me to join, but I never did. He got mad at me, too, because I didn't.
Well, these men are the richest men in Western civilization because they are so smart that they were able to get themselves out from under the thumb of the king by forming the first union that I'm aware of. I'm sure there are others, but the Masons formed their own union, and they met in their own homes, and they said, we have to convince the king that we can build better buildings without him telling us what to do using his stupid astrologer. How are we going to do it? We've got to get free if we're going to be able to build these buildings. So they figured out that if they could train each other and always be there ready to help a fellow Mason if he needed help, like, I don't know how to make this router work. Okay, I'm right there. This is how it works. They would prove to the king that they did not need to be directed by him, and their profession would skyrocket in power and wonder, and they would be able to do these dream buildings, these churches, and build in castles. And they would become extremely wealthy, and they certainly did, because they're the smartest men in the world. There's no white man in the world, in my opinion, smarter than a guy who can build a building.
Yeah, I've always thought they were smart, too. Carpenter, engineer, very smart. Well, that's a big item.
But let me ask you this. Be sure you notice. Just try to notice. When you hear all of these attacks against the Masons, they are generally coming from fundamentalist Christians. And their reason is that there is a genuine difference of opinion on the nature of God.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't state that I'm informed on this matter. As a matter of fact, I'm ignorant on it. But people that... I refer to my guardian angels as the intelligentsia, and The intelligentsia told me way, way long ago when we first started this effort that better watch out for them Masons. They bad people.
Well, your guardian angels may have been persuaded by other people's guardian angels that were incorrect. What I'm saying is your guardian angels can be questioned just like the Bible can.
My guardian angels, I had never come across anybody that smart. They seem to know everything about everything.
Right, but anything can be questioned. That's the whole point.
Yeah, well, I'm for that. I mean, but the case they made, I can't recount it in my mind, but it
yeah,
just...
well, you can. I'm taking questions from anybody at any time on this subject because I'm well aware of this enormous wave of hostility toward the Masons that really came crashing on the beach after 9/11. And it appears to me that somebody is trying to blame the rich white guys for 9/11, and we know it's the Jews. It's not the good white guys that started this country. The founding fathers were all Masons.
Okay, anybody wants to call in and ask Mona about that or anything else, you know the numbers. And also, let me just remind you, if you use those numbers, you have to look at the extension just to the right of the telephone number. The telephone number is not adequate. You have to dial the number, and then it will ask you for the extension, and then you can call. The call will complete, and that's over Skype. That's called Ring to Skype. I'm at the docket now, and I'm noticing.
Okay.
I'm noticing that. Jury selection and trial reset to 4/12/10. That obviously was continued again. Item. What is that? That's right after 68. Well, you're not even there, though.
No, but I'm looking at my notes. I might have written it down here. I took down a bunch of notes. So, yeah, well, there was a one-day continuance. I think it went from August 9th to August 10th. And I think, and this is off the top of my head, I think that the trial date is August 10th. Is that what you think?
I haven't found that. I'm a little concerned. I may still be in the old case. The last docket entry that I show was, no, it couldn't be. The last docket entry was on July 2nd, 2010.
Right. That's, okay. Isn't that nice to know you're in the right case?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what I think is important. There's a voicemail. Oh, and you know, I don't know if you know, you haven't had a chance to study it. At one point, the new attorney tells, are you there?
Yep.
Okay. The new attorney asks for a continuance of about 4 months, and he says he has 7,200 pages that he has to review because they amassed all that evidence against Hal. They took his computer and they printed out every single page. I mean, I don't know if it's every single page, but they printed out $72,000, 72,000 pages.
It sounds like one attorney's inadequate given the kind of, you know, what he's facing here.
That's what I think. That's why I really want to do this, because I want Kirchheimer to know that We are, you know, there are other people out here that support him, so he won't feel totally alone.
But let me just be clear. I don't support him. The reason I would be interested to confirm this suggestion that all these Mossad agents were discovered because of Hal Turner, and they were accessing his file, and they found him.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds
mm-hmm.
like a whopper. But I mean, if mm-hmm. we could confirm that, that would be mm-hmm. real interesting.
Well, okay, that may. So far, I'm working. Would you be interested in filing a motion for Radio Free Mississippi?
If somebody will pay the filing fee and prepare the document.
Uh-huh. Well, that's very good. That's very good. Of course, we'd have to get you up to Brooklyn, but I think I can pay for that. So I just don't want anybody who's listening to think that I'm promising anything, because it's such a formidable task. I may not be able to. I probably won't be able to do it. But now that you've told me you know of an attorney who does these motions all the time.
He's not a friend of mine. As a matter of fact, we were in federal court one day, And he was so upset with me. He's a little man, of course. All those lawyers are they're little. And but he's nudging me and he's poking me in the stomach with his elbow.
Well, we do that a lot as attorneys. That's friendly.
What's that guy's name? He's a First Amendment lawyer here for the Clarion Ledger. Gannett is the name of the paper. Clarion Ledger.
Okay, so what I think I'll do then, if I find the energy, what I should do is call the New Jersey papers who have not been able to hear. It's been in the news media that the New Jersey news media tries calling these different people and they won't talk to them. So it's possible if I call them up, they may have the same type of First Amendment lawyer, and I may be able to convince them to pursue it.
And it's kind of a stretch, but you know, people always think of the ACLU. You know, as much as he was.
Oh, I'm never going to talk to the ACLU.
Yeah.
They're total Jews.
Yeah,
Jewish communists. They get their money from Russia.
Yeah, they never helped me down here in Mississippi, but there are some dumb Gentiles that work for them as well. I've run across them. They're scattered around.
Well, you could call them, or one of your listeners could call them, but I'm just too hostile to Jewish Bolsheviks.
Yeah, I couldn't bear to do that. But there are other First Amendment groups out there that I don't know. You know, they're phony when it comes to the issue. They'll help you if you're politically correct. But I mean, they don't really believe in the First Amendment. They just believe in the First Amendment if you know y'all are on the same page as far as politics go. If it, you know, maybe it's something to do with religious free speech, but. Or you know any kind of legal matter they're so eat up with their own politics. Nobody's a true truly what do you
nobody
call it?
Believes in the First Amendment except intelligent people, and that lets and only the more intelligent of the intelligent people, and that lets out most people. In fact, the First Amendment was created by very cultured, educated gentlemen from good families who correctly understood that if you wanted to have an advanced civilization, you had to free your scientists and technologists so that they could not be afraid of being burned at the stake for thinking.
Mona,
what it was based on.
Got a question for you. Incoming.
Yeah.
Incoming email subject. Mona, ask which kind of Mason she is. Does she follow the teachings of Albert Pike or somebody else?
I love Albert Pike. And I would like to tell you why. Because that quote that everybody uses against him has been so misunderstood. The quote that everybody says proves that he worships Satan is in the middle of about 70 books that he's written. Somewhere in there he says, "Ah, Lucifer, how strange that Christianity has chosen you, the bright and morning star, to be the icon of evil, when you are the most beautiful of gods." Lucifer is the Roman god of reason. Albert Pike was wailing they only quote this one line out of 70 books. In that line he was saying, how tragic that Christianity has thrown out reason, and how ironic it is that people never notice that when they start talking about Lucifer, who Lucifer is. He is one of the panoply of Roman gods, and unlike Diana, who's the Roman goddess of love, and Juno, who's the Roman goddess of female authority, and Adonis, who is the Roman god of whatever, he's the Roman god, and Mars, the Roman god of war, Lucifer is the Roman god of reason. So Albert Pike is kind of laughing with his fellow Masons, and he's saying, look how stupid these stupid Christians are. They demonize that which we most love. Then you get the fundamentalists coming right back, and they'll say, well, you are supposed to despise reason. That's why we don't like Lucifer. Lucifer is Satan, and he fell from heaven because he used reason and logic instead of following God's orders. But so what? That's not addressing what Pike was saying. What Pike was saying in this moment, this that he wanted to share in his books with his fellow Masons, is what a crying shame that the Christians have to be so dumb.
Well, I don't know about all this Masonry and stuff, but I tell you, there are a lot of dumb Christians where I live.
Well, these guys, you know, the Founding Fathers, they all had IQs of at least 140. Maybe they let one or two mascots in at 130, but they were brilliant, well-bred, super men with generations of culture and education, and they themselves had very superior culture and education.
I've got another email here. Subject, Galileo. Galileo was not burned at the stake. Galileo recanted. Giordano Bruno was burned at the stake a century earlier.
That's correct. And I love Galileo because he was not burned at the stake. Did I say he was? If I did, I made a mistake. He was not burned at the stake, and we should all look at Galileo. We should look to Galileo for our role model, because if you get in trouble like he did, he demonstrates how to get out of trouble, unlike Jesus, who actually was crucified. Galileo figured out how not to get crucified, or in his case, burned at the stake. What you do is what he did. You fall on your belly, and you worship the Pope or the King or whoever it is, and you beg forgiveness, and you say you were wrong, and you put them at your mercy. Then you don't get crucified or burned at the stake. Take heed, Christians.
Well, lads, anybody wants to pick on Mona, you better come prepared. Sounds like she knows. Sounds like she's rather informed. The telephone lines are open. Call in. Otherwise, is there anything, any other developments out there that you see?
I don't see anything now. No, I think we've covered everything.
It's a slow 4th of July weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've pretty much beat it to death.
Oh, I'm good at that. I love doing that.
Me too. Oh, and I did get some pictures of you off the internet, and I put them in my new YouTube. And I have you talking to that guy, that neighbor.
Okay.
And it's kind of cute. And I've got some real funny pictures of Edward Steele up there, Edgar Steele. When this funny language comes up, like, he's really strange. I mean, just looking at the guy, and I've got picture after picture of Edgar Steele looking really strange.
That's not hard to find. It's real easy
right.
to find strange pictures.
Right.
Now, your YouTube channel, what is that now?
3 Hour Breaks.
Three, you spell it out, 3 hour breaks?
Yes.
How'd you come up with that? What's that pertain to?
Well, I started with 2 hour breaks, and somehow they took that name away from me because I made a mistake. So then I established 3 hour breaks.
But where'd you come up with that name? Why 3 hour breaks?
Well, at one point, about 20 years ago, I thought a good way to start on a new diet was to just take the pledge that for 2 hours I would not eat anything and see how that went. And so I was getting control over myself, and I loved it because I knew everybody else thought it meant that I was just a lazy person taking 2 hour breaks from work. But no, it actually was part of my diet regime.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've given you lads and lasses plenty of time to call Mona. I tell you, I'm pretty tired.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. You've been working too hard.
I've been at this pretty intensely here.
Well, I think we've pretty much finished Edgar Steele, don't you think so? I don't know if we're going to have any more news.
I'm going to still fish around more for that.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to. It just depends on, something might come to me as far as more input. You know, the thing I'm most curious, and I asked April Getty, she's not replied to my email, but She said she knew of a psychiatrist that knew Ed Steele. And what I would like to do is get an interview with somebody who actually knew him that could tell me about him.
Oh, yeah. There'd be nothing. In fact, that would just be hysterically funny. If we could get his supporters to come forward. I don't, you know, they should, but I don't think they will. I don't think they have the courage. But can you imagine what fools they'd make of themselves at this point? I'd love to hear David Duke talking about what a Prince Edgar Steele is.
Is he talking about that?
No, I said I'd love to have that happen. No, I'm not hearing any. Everybody's amazingly silent.
Yeah.
I think they finally are starting to realize that.
No, I think it's more of the media, the Jan media. They need to, they respond and react only, you know, they don't initiate stuff, they just react to it.
There's nothing on the White Power forums about him, about Edgar Steele.
I was just about to look
at
it. Not
anymore.
Did you look at VNN?
Yeah, I've been there today. I got maybe, there were three posts in the last 12 hours. Same thing with Stormfront. Nobody cares anymore.
Because
I think they're waking up in their heart of hearts. They realize that the evil, horrible Mona Montgomery and Jim Giles were actually right, and what can they do now?
Mona, I think I know them better than you. That ain't where they're at.
Oh, good.
No, they still...
Oh, good. I don't want them to give up that easy.
They have not changed their opinion one iota, I don't think.
Well, I noticed Alex Linder has issued an edict that you're not allowed to discuss the possibility of his guilt.
Yeah, I get that. I see it in VNN. They've got a thread here. Hal Turner denied bail, confirmed paid FBI informant. There are a bunch of posts there, but there was a post here just recently. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Let me see what that is. Now, there appears to be a post 57 minutes ago on the Edgar Steele thread.
Okay, on BNN?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Some of these people I cannot bear to read their posts, though. I mean, if it kind of jumps out at me. How many? Well, I'm not going to go there quite yet.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to say that yet. Wait, no, they got something.
I hope you know that you cannot offend me.
Oh, no, I would never try to. I would try to.
Yeah, but you can't. Even you don't have to worry about my feelings.
Well, I am, though. I'm always
worried.
Yeah,
but you don't need to.
One day ago, they had Montgomery. How'd you come up? Why that nom de guerre?
My name is Mona Montgomery.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, I thought, I just assumed you were using a fictitious name.
No, I chose that immediately when I went on the internet, that I was going to be myself and be honest and not be scared into anonymity.
Lord have mercy. Mona. Now I have a totally different, your stature is growing by leaps and bounds. Lord, hey boys. Now that she's told me that, y'all, goodness gracious, y'all really gotta be squirming in your britches now. Oh Lord, they hide. Oh gosh, I'm gonna have fun with them now that I know that. Anybody? Obviously, I mean, I assume they.
Oh, and I paid the price. The Jews got on me with four paws. Got me kicked out of three of my local groups that I loved, where people loved me. But the Jews found out where I worked, not worked, but where I hung out, you know, different groups, and they'd write letters and make phone calls, and it was very funny, and I was tormented, but I enjoyed the fight pretty much, actually. I kind of liked it because I felt that I was defending my honor, and I got through it, and I knew that that's what you have to do before you can find your voice. You have to not be afraid. It's bad enough trying to say what's on your mind when you are afraid. I mean, when you're not afraid. But you can't let fear make it impossible to speak. So you have to fight through that fear.
Let me see. This fella, this hell-raising woman. Are you familiar with that poster?
No. I think maybe I am. I think I do. I am. I think I've seen her. Yes, here she is.
Now, do they have some kind of light indicating whether they're okay? All right. Donald E. Pauley looks like he's online because I see his red, his green button.
Yeah.
You have rushed to judgment. Mona is coming on as a low-class whore.
Whore, right.
Which is exactly what scum-sucking lawyers are. You should
right.
praise her for enlightening the public about her profession. All right, let me just reply to Don. I doubt it'll get through, but
yeah.
I'll just say, I've got Mona on the telephone now. Please call in with your questions. / comments. She is eager to talk directly
and debate. Right.
to you and yeah. debate. Let's see if this makes it through.
Yeah. Let's see if it does.
Please call in. Yeah, I'll just assume they know how to navigate.
Here we got one minute ago from Lurker who says, who, for the record, who is Jim Giles? I've never heard of him before. Is he a white nationalist? That came in 1 minute ago.
Lurker.
Lurker, uh-huh.
Lurker.
And I love Lurker because he came out of the darkness about 2 days ago.
Mm.
I love those people.
Well, Lurker, if you're listening, or if someone who knows Lurker is listening, go to the search engine on VNN and put in my name. Unless they've deleted it all, you can kind of get a gist of who I am there, boy.
Okay, I think I'll do the same thing. But you know what? That was 2 minutes ago now, and I'm still not seeing your post, so it didn't come in immediately.
They moderated.
They've got you under moderation, right?
Yeah. Boys, as long as I've been there.
Can you believe moderation?
Huh?
Somebody like you. Can you? I'm not going to. They'd ban me if I said it. Okay, I'm now going to say. I'll say something, see if I get through. Title.
Let's have some fun. Come on now. Let's mix it up a little bit. Y'all, now, don't be jealous because I've got internet radio. Y'all have got that awesome forum. All of y'all. Y'all been there a long time. Y'all smart guys, know how to write. But come on over here and, you know, work on your speech, your oratory. It'll be good for you. See, I always like.
Now, should I put down www.rebelarmy.com, right?
Yeah, that's easier.
That's how I do it.
www.rebelarmy.com.
Okay, let's see what happens. I hope it doesn't get me banned at Alex Linder. So.
Ah, look here. Wait a minute. Hey. Let me. Mona, we got an incoming call.
Okay.
Oh. You are hosting this call. Then that dropped out.
Okay.
I hope they'll call back. Call back, whoever it was.
Mm-hmm.
I tried.
My post got through, so I'm not being moderated. But
oh, golly, come on now. Y'all don't like her now. Y'all supposed to like me, and y'all not letting me get in there? That ain't right.
Right. Yeah.
Mona, they let you in like that? Well, they just let you in there because they're going to ban you. They wanted to ban you. I love you all and am eager to debate with you. Come on the Jim Giles show now and talk to me. All right. Well, let's see if that one gets through.
It is. It got you.
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You mean if anybody pays you attention,
yeah.
Right?
You don't know how many people are reading that thread.
We know Lurker's there.
His button is dark, though. It's not green.
Okay.
See the button there. If they're online, mm-hmm. it'll be green.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think we have anybody.
And a lot of times, they'll... All right, let me try it again. Add to mm-hmm. conference.
Mm-hmm. Try it again.
Dang, it's not going through.
What is your nickname on Stormfront?
Radio Free Mississippi.
Okay, I'm going to type that in and see what happens.
Whoever's trying to get through, keep trying, because I'm trying to add you to the conference, and when I do, the call goes, you know, it ought to connect.
Well, you should disconnect me if that's going to make things better, and I can always turn you on the radio.
The next time, hey, y'all call in again, and I will just answer it, and then I'll call Mona back if that.
Right.
So right. Call again, caller. Keep calling. We'll get you through.
Is Radio Free Mississippi one word or three words?
Three.
Okay. Yeah, I hate to lose a call like that.
Keep calling, caller. I'm trying to get you through. Hang in there, boy. Don't quit. Stick with it, boy.
Right. Invalid. I think I made a mistake. It says, I put in username that I was trying to search, radio, space free, space Mississippi, no caps, find posts by user. Okay. And it says, invalid user specified.
Radio Free Mississippi. Yeah, I just wanted to confirm because I used to be Jim Giles there, and they shut that one down.
Oh,
they wouldn't let me resume it, but they for some odd reason they let me sign up with Radio Free Mississippi. They're ambivalent over there about me.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's a lot of ambivalence out there. They don't. So used to some of them would say I was a federal informant, but now they just think I'm dumb. Okay, let me see. I'll call you right back, okay?
Right.
This is Jim Giles. Hello? You there?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, good.
Good. It worked that time.
Yeah, this is Hadding here.
Hey, Hadding.
I had some comments about Freemasonry. I actually had to research that a little bit some years ago. I couldn't really do very deep research. I just read some of the...
Hadding?
Yeah?
I've got a call.
Yeah.
Let me try. If I miss you, call me back. I'm going to just try this one time, okay? Call me back. 1 second. This is Jim Giles.
Oh, hello. This is Pastor Martin Lindstedt. yes. Pastor Martin Lindstedt here.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can. I've got Hadding on with me, and he's Pastor Lindstedt. He's ahead of you, so if you'll be patient and let him make his comment, and then we'll get to you next.
Okay.
And Mona, I hope you're listening. I'll bring you back in here pretty quick. Okay, Hadding, go ahead.
It might be interesting to let Martin Lindstedt go first.
Okay, Pastor Lindstedt, you go first.
Well. You've been pretty well. I've been listening. Phil Covington, pretty well. Let me go ahead and turn the thing down here. What happens is that I was listening to the thing with Harold Covington, and pretty well listening to you talk to Mona or something like that. And it's pretty well true. I pretty well made my position clear in that. In many cases, what you believe is altogether a function of what side you're on. But I don't know, Mr. Java. I sort of think it'd be far better if you just simply went ahead and says that yes, you end up hating, Edgar Steele, and leave it at that. Here, I mean, I went ahead and the thing about it is that April Gady knows. Edgar Steele, probably, far better than you or me. I have a copy of this book that Edgar Steele sent to me in 2000 of Defense of Racism. He went ahead and praised my character, and then he asked for an honest review, and I gave him an honest review. you know, I went ahead and covered it, is that, look, Edgar, it's very good for whipping up the wiggers, but it doesn't do anything for hardcore revolutionaries. But, you know, just like April Gady says, she's quite suspicious of this Mona person who goes ahead and shows up. And I have seen people like Mona who end up being lawyers themselves, and they show up and they talk about, oh, how they are so concerned about the state of white nationalism, and you don't know who they are, you don't have their name, you don't have any track record of anything they've done, and they show up and they do their damage, and nobody ends up knowing who they are. And I've seen over the past 16 years that I've been in the movement, of which 15 of them have been on the internet, and after you've been there for a while, you go ahead and you see it all. You see the typical wiggers who know everything about National Socialism or this or that or whatever, and they're never really held responsible for whatever the heck they do. Now, I went ahead and come in to where here's Mona whining and moaning about how people don't go ahead and give Masonry a fair chance, and just like everybody else was wondering, is that if they're a secret society, what do they have to hide? It's so wonderful. And generally, most of these Masons have been engaged in all this mumbo-jumbo, and essentially what boils down to, just like Eric Thompson said, who's great-great-great-great-grandfather Charles Mason, one of the founding felons, was a Mason himself, and had all this stuff, is that, yes, it's a secret society, and what it boils down to is going ahead and giving the riches of Solomon's Temple to the Jews and having the Goyim serve. And I've seen so many people come in, and they go ahead and talk about the Jews doing this and the Jews doing that. Essentially, they end up themselves acting like a cast pause for the Jews. And April Gady was wondering, what is her motive? Why is she doing this?
Let me just say one thing. Heading, you still there?
I am here.
Okay, let me try to get Mona back on the line. And with this many people, gentlemen, clearly two people can't talk at once. So just be patient, and we'll give everybody a chance to talk. But let me try to get Mona back on the line, and so Pastor Lindstedt, you can ask her questions directly, okay?
Well, hopefully she's heard what I said.
Hopefully so.
Said something here.
Okay, Hattie, you go ahead first.
Yeah, Martin, Mona Montgomery, actually, she's been around a few years. I used to hear her on Hal Turner's site. She had a historical revisionist program on there. And she also has a YouTube channel with quite a few videos on there with herself in them. So she's not really a person that you can't know anything about. She's been around a few years, and we have her real face and her real name. Not a big mystery, really.
Yeah, that was one thing I was going to tell you, Pastor Lindstedt. She told me this evening that Mona Montgomery's her real name. I thought it was a fictitious name, too, but she said it's her real name.
Well, with Hal Turner was, you know, all together, and not only a Zog rat, but an agent provocateur. And earlier last year, you know, I was affiliated with, this character I call Sci-Fi Faber, who was supposedly Hal Turner's Aryan Nations Christian Identity contact. And I've seen people like that who are oh so worried about whether the movement looks good or looks bad or whatever. And this Christian Identity, we don't really care what the movement looks like. We don't care what wiggers think, because as we look at them, 90% of them need to die in Great Tribulation. So as a result, Robert Friends said it best, is that between Christian Identity and Jews, there's a process of mutual delegitimization, and the whole purpose is not to go ahead and have peace, but essentially to end up having a total, absolute civil war. So you end up having somebody who was associated with Hal Turner, and I've seen how people like Hal Turner's, the reason that they go ahead and think of themselves looking in the mirror as anything other than rats, you know, be they Trader Glenn Miller or Alex Flander or the rest, is that essentially they're protecting white nationalism from extremists or dangerous psychotic maniacs like myself and others. And Edgar Steele, he suffered, or he used to suffer, I think he's learned, from the same thing. And so did Howard Turner. That is what he justified being a Zog, you know, being a Zog agent provocateur by, is that he had to go ahead and protect, you know, this regime by going ahead and finding these dangerous maniacs and bringing them to the attention of the FBI.
I don't agree with Mona on her support for Hal Turner. Him trying to get white people arrested, try to get them to commit crimes that they wouldn't otherwise have committed, I'm totally against. So, but I still like Mona. Now, let me get her on the line so y'all can talk directly. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah. Well, you know, the fact that she bought time from Hal Turner isn't...
All right, I lost somebody. Who'd I lose? Hattie, you still there?
Hello.
Pastor Lindstedt, you still there?
I think so.
Okay.
Oh, I've been listening.
Okay. All right, Pastor Lindstedt, Mona Montgomery, y'all are on the air together. Did you hear what Pastor Lindstedt said, Mona?
Yes, I did, and I'm very happy to talk to Pastor Lindstedt because I agree with him on a lot of points, but I disagree with him on important points, and I think we might be able to have an interesting discussion.
Pastor Lindstedt, can you hear that?
Yes, I heard that. The thing about it is that, well, sort of like me trying to go ahead and run as an open white man and being denied in Missouri. And essentially, the Jew judge does whatever the heck he wants to, and I have a motion for summary judgment in order to go ahead and run. You know, first was Republican first on the Republican primary, and I was not allowed to run. Then on the Libertarian one, and I was kicked off. And recently, you end up having Trader Glenn Miller go through all the big, you know, boo-hoo-hoo about how he had. You know, the FCC had gone ahead and denied him the ability to go ahead and buy time for cheap. And someone like me goes ahead and looks and says about a week before the FCC decision, well, after it's really been made, is that he was coming up to $4,907. And if he had gone ahead and received $93 more, he'd have had to go ahead and report not only who went ahead and gave him the $5,000 in the first dollar, but you have to go ahead and explain who'd given him the rest of the money up to $4,999. And essentially what I went ahead and says is that Trader Glenn Miller has what I call a Zog rat pack, or as in Zionist occupied government, Rats Against Terror Political Action Committee. So I've gone ahead and seen a number of people throughout the years who have come and go, you know, come and gone, and Hal Turner is nothing new, and a number of these Christian identity people, they're nothing new, you know, these false Christian identity people. And as a result, you've been in the movement, you've seen how very thoroughly the Baal movement has been, you know, brought in by agent provocateurs. So when you end up having a lawyer, and, you know, having said is that she's been on, and she was along with Hal Turner, and she bought time from Hal Turner, and essentially it just seems to me is that she is mainly just a Zog false front who's trying to go ahead and have moderation when moderation is not called for.
Yeah, could she be just somebody that has a different opinion?
So, you know, the FBI doubtless has a different opinion on things than me, or for that matter, Edgar Steele does. I would say it's far more than that.
Yeah, well, anybody could buy time from Hal Turner if you listen to his site at all. You know,
I know that. But pretty well what I'm objecting to is the message. And just like April Gaby, I'm wondering, why in the world is there any real question as to whether or not Edgar Steele is guilty or not? You know, the thing about it is as I look at here. You know, I've been found guilty of say not wearing a seatbelt and driving with a burnout headlight, for which I spent 3 days consent to court. And I was accused of child molestation. Altogether made up here. And as I look at it, the perfect way to go ahead and deal with it, and deal with lawyers and deal with police, is pretty well Iron Felix's way of going ahead and dealing with it. He'd simply go ahead and round up a regime criminal, torture the regime criminal. The regime criminal would confess. He'd go ahead and toss the pig or all the way up to the czar, to the mob, send the family to a death camp. And let me tell you, not a single decision of Iron Felix Straczynski was ever overturned. Now, Iron Felix was the founder, was Lenin's policeman, and the founder of what became the Russian KGB.
That's one of the peculiar things about you, the idolization of Dzerzhinsky. That's a strange thing.
Wait, he likes Dzerzhinsky?
Dzerzhinsky,
I admire Iron Felix Dzerzhinsky.
I like Dzerzhinsky.
No, you're not hearing.
Dzerzhinsky.
Mona.
Okay.
It's a different last name.
Yeah, it's a different guy. Sorry.
Do you know
the different guy?
Yeah.
What happens? Your Hanning character. He's just another intellectual. Usually I'd pretty well despise Alex Winder, but I think that Alex Winder for one was right. I wouldn't have banned Hanning, but essentially Alex Winder did wonder correctly as to what side Hanning is on. I've seen all you dilettantes who are playing the revolution. And when it comes down to it, none of you really mean it.
I don't want a revolution.
Really don't. Huh?
I do not want an armed revolution.
Of course you don't.
That's right.
Of course you don't. You're a lawyer.
That's right.
You're a lawyer.
That's correct.
You support, I was listening to you, and essentially you support battered women or something like that. I got to see essentially, one battered woman is born off here, and here comes to where old Cindy Steele was a battered wife. And you have no idea about that.
I'm saying she did not sound like she was in the palm of Edgar's hands when he was talking to her on the phone. She had a definite resistant tone when talking to him.
Fine. You're going by what it sounds like to you, based upon your notion.
My own conscience.
I mean, the thing on your own.
As a lawyer,
you don't have any conscience. You've got to accept it. A monopoly license to steal.
What?
From the government here.
Okay.
You support this particular regime. You are totally against.
No, I don't. Oh no, I don't. No, I don't support
the
Gaza machine.
You don't.
Yes,
you think they hand that out? Do you think they handed that out to anybody? They certainly didn't hand it out to Matt Hale, did they?
No, because he stepped into the shoes of a guy who had gone on a shooting spree and killed several Negroes and then himself. And
no,
the guy does not
well,
consider that moral.
What happens is that, according to law, according to the facts, that his so-called follower did this after he was denied a law degree. And second of all, why in the world are you going ahead and supporting Zog against Matt Hale on the basis of what one of the
I am not. I do not. I think the Matt Hale finding verdict was a terrible miscarriage of justice. I do agree with you that we have a terrible infestation of Jewish spies and moles who lie, steal, and are subverting our system. They are what our parents warned us against, the communists. And because we weren't alert, we have allowed them.
I have a show I have a show called the, you know, Movement Turd. And about half the time, I go ahead and start it out with a, you know, because you know what a vibe movement produces, don't you? And
what,
generally,
what,
you know, better than half the time, I go ahead and start with a rendition of Dave Ball's, you know, the One Hit Wonders Thinking Problem. And I start out with, I do believe we have a Whigger problem. And essentially, you know, pretty well as Christian identity people, we believe that, you know, the
okay,
Jews
so
are
okay, so you are Christian identity then, is that correct? Are you Christian identity?
Are you Christian identity? Yes, dual seed line Christian identity.
Okay, I want to ask you a question.
Dual seed line Christian identity.
Okay, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe,
sure,
as I do, do you believe as I do that Jesus Christ was a white man?
Well, yes. He wasn't a
Thank
Jew.
You.
That's why, that's why the name, but, you know, generally my part, and I'm sort of like with April Gade, in that, you know, essentially, you're taking the part against, you know, Edgar Steele.
Wait, I want to talk to you, I've never been able to talk to a Christian identity person before, and I have a couple of questions.
Well, Hal Turner always used to pretend to be Christian identity. He ended up having a sci-fi Faber essentially pretend to go ahead and hold his hand, you know, from the Aryan Nation, supposedly, of New Jersey.
Can I ask you a question?
You can ask 10 questions, but I want to go ahead and point out that essentially, as a lawyer, you got something from this government that it doesn't hand out. You got a monopoly license to steal from the government, and you've already said you do not want any revolution. So essentially, what it boils down to is that essentially you want to go ahead and have any revolution or any change supposedly to go ahead and be given either peacefully or by electoral means. And that is no longer possible.
I'm a lawyer, and I think that there's tremendous undone work that can be done in terms of talking this thing out and debating, starting with each other, which we're having a hard time doing. We should be able, as raconteurs, at least to talk to each other. So let's start with, you know, now. But the point I'm trying to make is we have not done any talking it over. And before you go to violence, you have to use up all of the avenues of peaceful negotiation. And I find very little negotiation going on between people within, I won't even say within the movement, because I don't think I'm within the movement, but I am definitely a white person who does not want to see my race go extinct. And it seems to me that I should be able to talk to someone else with the same main goal without too many problems. And if we can't talk to each other, we're not ready for a revolution because we're too confused to even go the first step.
But you just went ahead and listed a whole bunch of non sequiturs and the illogic and the rest here. The fact of the matter is, if we cannot go ahead and speak to each other, if we cannot get along, generally, violence is going to go ahead and follow just as night follows the day. The thing about it is, I've gone ahead and
that's
I've read
what we
adding
don't want.
Stuff. No,
we don't want violence.
I mean, no, I disagree. Essentially, what happens is that Christian identity believe in a great tribulation. Essentially,
well,
we do want violence. No,
I don't.
You don't.
There's no reason
you should want violence because, hey, you're a hog at the trough, and you like the way things are right now.
No, I don't. That is not true.
No,
not
you
true.
Don't.
I do not like. I think
if
we. I do not like the way things are. I think that we have not exercised sufficiently our powers to discuss things before we go into violence. But what you have said intrigues me.
We're going to go ahead and discuss. Essentially, Edgar Steele, and what you want to do is you want to go ahead and find Edgar Steele guilty.
No, I don't want to find Edgar Steele guilty. No, I don't. I don't know if Edgar's
guilty. Well, that is what pretty well everyone who listens to you do here. And that's why April Gade did not trust you.
Hey, Martin.
Because she's not a lawyer. She's not a lawyer, and she pretty well made mincemeat of you.
Yeah.
Jim Giles has on his show right now. You know, Jim wants to find Edgar Steele guilty.
Nobody wants to find Edgar Steele guilty.
You just don't want to go ahead and admit it. Why don't you just go ahead and admit that you do not like Edgar Steele?
That's why you want to go ahead and see him in prison
for the rest of his short life.
Okay.
I did not say that.
Right.
You're beating me up for positions I have not taken.
I'm beating you up for pretty well the points you've already gone ahead and said. April Gady, I'm talking about the Thursday broadcast, which is entitled Socrates. Essentially, what happens is that April Gady questions your motive. I no longer question your motives because I think you're a Zogbot. Generally, my position is that essentially what happens, take all the lawyers, take all the policemen, take everyone who works for the government, essentially go ahead and torture and put them to death. And generally what I'm working on is a decentralized fourth generation warfare to where essentially by means of civil war we go ahead and take care of the Uyghur problem. Yeah, we have a Uyghur problem, not a Jew problem. And by going ahead the fact of the matter is that if we go ahead and let things go the way they are, and there is no change to it. I have a little sign that says don't fuck with the Great Tribulation. And essentially I have every belief that eventually, just like this mighty evil empire will go the same way as Nineveh and Tyre, which is no longer with us, and we'll end up having a civil war. And what I'm hoping is to have only 10 million white people and no niggers, no Jews, no beaners, to essentially end up exterminating through civil war 140 million Uyghurs and 150 million Mamzers. And essentially, your yapping and your jaw and your rest here don't mean nothing.
And you believe that the Jesus Christ that you read about in the four Gospels would like to see that kind of bloodshed?
Hold up
right there, Pastor Lindstedt. You've been dominating the conversation.
Sure.
Let the lady respond. When she finishes talking, you can talk. Go ahead, Mona.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mona.
Yes, it's my understanding of the character of Jesus, especially as depicted in the book of John, which is the one I heavily rely on, that Jesus was the Prince of Peace, and the last thing he would want was anybody to be hurt, far less 9/10 of the human population, just so that he could come back and rule. That's not the Jesus Christ I see in the book of John. But you're entitled to see him the way you see him, and so I'm saying this is a point upon which we totally disagree, the character of Jesus. You and I have an entirely opposing view of his personality.
May I respond
and
to
I
that?
Read, and I, yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Did Jesus Christ say or not in Matthew chapter 15, verses 13, and he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Did he say that?
I would say he did.
Okay. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, did he say, I have not been sent to anybody other than the lost sheep of the house of Israel?
Absolutely.
Okay. In Matthew chapter 15, going on, he ended up calling a Canaanite woman a dog.
Yes, yes, he did. He was a racist.
The lost sheep of the house of Israel.
He was a white racist, just like you and me. That is correct.
Did he ever say something like, "Anyone who is not with me is against me"?
I can't remember that, but I'll take your word for it. Doesn't sound wrong.
Did he ever say, think not that I've ever come to bring peace but a sword? Did he ever say that?
I would have to check that one. I'm sure that I have to check the context of that.
Context, did he say it or not?
I'm not sure.
I'm sure you can find all sorts of things.
That
okay.
is in there.
Well, okay, how did he even did here?
I think the thing you're thinking is, I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it.
That is also
no, that's
is that
Matthew,
the one?
That's Matthew 5, that, no, that's Matthew 5, 19 through 20.
Okay, so let me have the scripture you're saying, you're quoting.
Well, I don't have it.
Quote
I
again.
Don't have it right hand. Do you think that he,
I'll dig it out.
Think not that I've come to go ahead and bring peace by the sword.
You're saying he said, do not think that I have come to bring peace
to
the world, and you think that's in the
I will set a son against his father, and a father against his son,
absolutely.
A mother against his father.
Oh, absolutely. He was the king of debate. He wanted people to argue and disagree with each other.
They wanted them to go ahead and judge off. So in short, he wanted them to go ahead and, you don't remember what he said to not be in the way of the scribes and the lawyers. From what I gather, he didn't have much good to say about it.
Yes, he didn't like lawyers, that's for sure. That's right. That's why lawyers
but
today.
But you yourself are a scribe and a lawyer, and you essentially because
so was
of the matter
Thomas.
Of the you sit in Moses' seat.
So was one of his disciples. So was one of his disciples. Saint Thomas was a lawyer.
So did Saint Thomas stick with the lawyer business, or did he go with Jesus Christ?
He went with Jesus Christ. You're not going to be able to. I don't even know what we're arguing about. Aren't we arguing about whether or not we should bring in Armageddon? I think that's the issue here. I disagree. The issue I am trying to challenge is that Jesus Christ wants us to create so much bloodshed that only a few good people will be left, and then he'll come back and rule us. I don't believe that's true. I disagree, and I think it's very wicked to teach that.
In a way,
what happened to Jesus Christ did go ahead and say, he said that there would be a great tribulation such as never was and never shall be again, and unless he should return, no flesh should be saved. So essentially, what you're doing is you're saying that Jesus Christ is evil because he went ahead and preached what Jesus Christ preached.
I need to know if you're talking about the Gospels or Revelations.
Is there a difference?
Yes.
Are you going to pick and choose? To you lawyers, what happens is that Holy Writ is sort of like a McDonald's extra value meal, to where you're going to go ahead and pick and choose what you wish to go ahead and believe.
Yes, I read the Bible the way it tells me to read it, with a spirit of discernment. I judge which scripture I believe is true and which is not. That is discernment. I am allowed and ordered to judge the Bible, and I do.
So you judge the Bible, do you?
I judge everything that I read. I test it against my own conscience, against parts of it, other parts of it, against what I know about history. Yes, I do.
I've seen 166 million like you. And the fact of the matter is that essentially the Bible is whatever the hell they believe it is. You ought to go ahead and, essentially, rather than go ahead and pretend to, believe in Jesus Christ, you ought to be like the Reverend Hardy Mongoloid, who, after Matt Hale got sent to prison, claimed that he was, who was the Pontifex Maximus, and then when everybody wanted to go ahead and beat his ass, he decided he was going to be Woden's only living prophet that lived. What you ought to do is get into just full solipsism mode and cut out Jesus Christ from the rest and just simply worship yourself, just like the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy does.
I worship the God that Jesus revealed because he revealed him to me. Why would I worship myself?
I guess that what you want to do is that you want to worship the God as he revealed himself personally to you.
Not so much, but enough.
We're in government work. The thing about this is that Buck asked me not to go ahead and argue with Jim Giles, and I really don't, because I think Jim Giles, just like the Butcher / Hunter Wallace and Edgar Steele and the rest, have a purpose within this wonderful bowel movement of ours.
Oh, I see. You're speaking to me in scatological terminology.
You dare to speak
to a lady that way. So I'm supposed to think
This is what gets me here. I'm supposed to put females on a pedestal here.
I just think you need to not use vulgarity.
If you want to argue with the big boys, either grow you a set of nuts or give it up.
I don't tolerate that kind of scatological discussion because I consider it very Jewish.
No. You're just a stupid ignorant cunt who goes ahead and tells white people, white men, what to do. That's why you got a law degree.
If you start talking that way, I'm going to correct you because you're wrong to do it. To me. I'm not going to take that kind of verbal abuse.
Well, you're taking it now, aren't you?
No, because Let me ask a question.
If I went ahead and gave you a choice of me ringing both your tits, whether you go ahead and have the discipline to go ahead and just ring one, and then go ahead and hollow out your tit, make it as a little cap, what would you do? Would you talk about whether or not you're going to tolerate what's going to end up happening?
I think your embrace of torture as a acceptable method of fashioning the destiny of this country.
Okay, all right, Hey.
Sure.
Pastor Lynchette, I'm giving you a lot of latitude here. The one thing, though, I'm going to see that Mona has an opportunity to respond. So let her complete her thought in full, and then you can respond. Go ahead, Mona.
Okay. I think that the pastor will agree with me that he believes that the Bible is to be taken literally, and that because of that belief is the basis of his hatred for Freemasonry, because they believe, as I do, that the Bible, like every other book, needs to be studied and weighed. Am I correct, Pastor?
The thing about it is that once you go ahead, and essentially you're going to go ahead and pick and choose what you are going to believe, what you're going to weigh, and the rest of it is, what it seems to me is that you'd be far better off, like the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy, who went from being a creatard to a wokenist to essentially just an open, honest solipsist. What you ought to do is, rather than go ahead and even pretend to go ahead and make the Bible into a little value meal, which you're going to go ahead and pick and choose, as if you get to go ahead and decide, why don't you just simply give it up and just openly worship yourself? Now,
because I love the Bible. Why should I let you take away my pleasure, my religion?
The thing about it is that, yes, I support 140 million Uyghurs dying, because until Uyghurs die, I mean, I've seen these characters, and essentially, to me, you're either on one side or you're on the other. And if you're not with us, then you're against us. I don't deal. What happens is that, like I tried to tell people, we can't go ahead and put 150 million Uyghurs in prison. We can't go ahead and make them do whatever. the things keep on going. Like I tried to tell Jim Giles, you have 20 cows. You have a Jew cow. You have, oh, 4 or 5 beaner cows, oh, 5 or 6 beaner cows, and the rest of them are Uyghur cows. And 18 of them are diseased, and you don't have room for 5 of them. What do you do? And the answer of it is you exterminate, or you allow to die those 18, you know, those 18 diseased animals out of 20. What happens, what you like or what you care about really don't matter. The Great Tribulation is coming, and there is no saving it here. So if you want to go ahead while you're starving to death or some nigger's beating on your door ready to rape you, by all means, go ahead and pick and choose among the scriptures. But my problem with you, is you go ahead and you claim to be of the movement. So does Hattie.
No, I don't claim to be
of the
movement.
And what you do, fine, what good are you?
Huh?
What good are you? You're just some female. You're just some female lawyer Mason. And
yes.
If that's all it boils down to, then you're just some female lawyer Mason. And essentially, I mean, what we do is that we're talking our own different language, something totally different. Why in the world? You know, sort of like all these females who come in. And all these people try to go ahead and change Christian identity. You ask them, why are you here?
Oh,
and the
I'm
answer
not
is
trying to change. I'm asking you, I have one question about Christian identity that I would like to ask you because I consider you an expert.
What is it?
May I ask? Okay, in Revelations chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, it is my contention that we get an accurate description of Jesus' physical body. His physical being, which is, paraphrasing, tall, slender, curly, platinum blonde hair, flashing blue eyes, a very articulate, soft-spoken voice, and golden or white skin. That we are looking
okay.
at a true friend of St. John.
What does that have to do with anything?
I'm asking you
if you agree with
me.
Let's not do it. Fine.
Well, I think it's important. I think it's important
what
that we know
that
he looks like.
Fine, we agree. We agree.
Great.
Whatever.
Okay, thank you. Do you really believe that or not? Because it's a...
I have no problem with it. The thing about it is that right now it has about as much bearing as what Lamech told Zilla and Ada, his wife, about him killing a man to his own hurt. It turned out to be his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Cain, the world's first Jew.
It's
right
just
now,
that nobody
it's
really
met,
except me. I've never met anybody who agreed with me about that verse, and I think it's terribly important that we have a portrait of Jesus. What a gift.
Fine. If I can go ahead and get, you guys to quit speculating that Edgar Steele is guilty based upon nothing here. I mean,
what's astonishing to me is that we both hear the same tape with the same voice, and we hear entirely different things. That's amazing to me. I hear
no,
a lawyer.
To me, it's not amazing at all.
Okay.
Essentially, what happens is that we're on different sides, and for whatever reason, you want to go ahead and find that you're still guilty, and for whatever reason, I've already made it quite clear that even if Edgar Steele was guilty, as far as I'm concerned, you know, especially if he's on the side of the resistance, and I think he is, judged by how he is being treated, that it doesn't matter. You know, I've already said that if he was seen walking down the streets of Sagal by Sagal Police Department with the heads of Cindy Steele, mother-in-law Steele, Steele children, more Steve, 2 or 3 Jews, and a beaner or two, as far as I'm concerned, I say it's a wrong plot. It does not matter. And I see no reason. I see no reason at all for anybody in the movement.
I know what
to
I want
to go ahead and even speculate that Edgar Steele might or might not be guilty.
Okay, let me tell you why you're wrong. one of the major differences between the blacks and the whites that we brag about to prove our superiority is that the blacks go down to the jails and they bang on it and they have their big riots and they say, we want you to free our brother, whether he's guilty or not. Whereas the white person says, if he's innocent, I will fight for him, but if he's guilty, he should be punished. You, in my opinion, are acting more like a black man than like a white man when you say, I don't care if my white brother is guilty of plotting to murder. I want him freed because he is part of the movement.
Okay. And my opinion is that you're just simply some female legal lawyer with your own little beliefs and your own little motives who really is just somebody who's just hanging like a tick or a dingleberry on the anus of the movement. And if you don't really go ahead and support our side, then go ahead and get on the side of Zog.
The thing about it is that, look,
you're winning. You're going ahead and doing some of that here. I imagine Jim Giles might have felt guilty if that nigger lesbian here had gone ahead and a bunch of wiggers would have found him guilty, and then he'd have had to go ahead and enjoy the rest of his short life at Parchman, Mississippi, as an open racist here. And what happens is that you would have said, oh, hell, old Jim, he got due process of law, you said it real piously here. And the same way, with Hattie. What it boils down to is, look, I wish you posers would just go ahead and get on the side of Zog where you belong.
Because that's not the only choice. You can disagree with Zog.
You're making, essentially, you're going ahead and saying there's a whole bunch of choices, and, you're the woman who wants to go ahead and treat the Bible, every single scripture as if it's a value meal, judged upon whether or not you want to go ahead and believe it or whether you want to go ahead and listen to it.
Yes, because that was one of the first things I learned from the Bible. The Bible instructs me as a reader of the Bible to read the Bible with a spirit of discernment.
You sound just like a wigger, a mad wigger.
How do you interpret that? What do you think a spirit of discernment?
The fact of the matter is, unless Jesus Christ calls you, you cannot ever please Christ. Why did Christ talk in parables?
You're not answering my question. I know you have the answer. I know you've figured this out, and you've got your own interpretation.
What you're doing is, like a lawyer, you're setting a trap.
I'm telling you why I approach the Bible with a spirit of discernment is because it says that's what you're supposed to do.
I know why you do what it is. Essentially, you're just another wigger who's playing on the old real value meals. You got a law license.
I thought that was very important for the Bible.
You're like every other wigger who got born here and thinks that, hey, guess what? I learned the wonderful thing of masturbation. You're just like every other wigger that thinks that they invented masturbation, because guess what? It was not talking about school.
Why are you speaking vulgarity to me? Do you think you have the right to
No. The thing about it is, you're just like all these other girls. You want to go ahead.
Well, I would imagine most women are not pleased with you, Pastor. I'm sure you're having a lot of trouble attracting females.
What happens is that if you've ever, if you've ever been a man, I worked in a convenience store. A lot of these females would forget that, I was around. And let me tell you, a woman talks far more raunchier than any man. They will talk about their last bowel movement. They will talk about their last menstrual flow.
Oh my God, so you consider women talking about their menstrual cycles to be being vulgar? That's what you consider vulgarity? When women talk to each other?
What you want to do is you want to sit on a pedestal, but on the other hand, you want to go ahead and play with the boys, and then, oh my God, what happens? The boys are saying something. Oh, it's just too bad for me to hear this vulgar. You got to go ahead and protect me from this crap.
It's just that it's clear abuse.
You sound just like a pig here. Go ahead and give somebody a disciplinary infraction for verbal abuse.
Correct.
Well, yes.
I'm giving you a pastor of the word, a disciplinary infraction for having used bowel movement to me and something about cutting off. You never had a bowel movement.
You never had a menstrual flow. You're totally plugged up.
You're the one that's getting the infraction here.
For what?
Because
what is your infraction while speaking to me? Okay, my idea is simply go ahead and give you my idea of infraction would be hunt you down and go ahead and give you a choice. If you go ahead and, I cut off both tits, or you go ahead and you run one through the ringer, and then you cut it off, and you go ahead and tag your tit and use a little stocky cap. And essentially, what happens is we'll talk about how wonderful, how much on a pedestal we should put you. The fact of the matter is, you're just a lawyer.
Am I supposed to be frightened?
You're just a lawyer. I don't know. There are a lot of people who are frightened.
Am I supposed to respect you? Is that what you're trying to get here? Fear?
No, if you had any sense, you'd be scared shitless on me because, a lot of people. I've talked with a bunch of you VNNF cards. Essentially, you go ahead and talk big and bad, then when I start going ahead and figure out where you were, oh my God, an escaped male patient is about to go ahead and kill me.
I see. So you're threatening me with death. I'm not putting you on my list of death threats that I get. You're going to call me FBI on me?
Look, the fact of the matter is...
I don't bother to call the FBI. On a little jerk.
You bother, go ahead. Yeah, we'll kick like this. Look, the fact of the matter is that April Gady was quite correct to question what your motives are. And for whatever reason, you're hanging around. No, because she's another female and she was polite to you. And she wasn't vulgar. But the fact of the matter is that April knows, Edgar Steele far better than you do.
But I heard the voice talking to his wife. At least I end up...
You heard the voice of his wife because what happens? She sounds abused. Essentially, you end up sounding like any other bureaucrat from the social services here. You sound like any other bureaucrat from the social services.
I sound like any other middle class white woman. That's right.
No, you sound like I guess other middle class white women are bureaucrats here. Look, this system has turned into complete sewer because of 140 million Uyghurs like you. And essentially, there is no saving this system until all your kind essentially are dead. There's no saving it. Not at all.
Okay. Well, I don't think you're correctly articulating Jesus' position in the matter of how we should be dealing with
I've already gone ahead and given you scriptures here. What you have pretty well said, several times, is that essentially scripture to you is altogether a matter of how you choose to go ahead and weigh it and how you choose to go ahead and accept it. And essentially what happens is that I'm just simply saying what Father called Christianity. Why don't you just simply worship yourself and have done with it like Reverend Mongoloid Hardy does? Just worship yourself and have done with it.
I don't see how a person can worship themselves because worship, like love, requires an object other than the self. That's what makes it love.
You're not an object.
That won't work.
Yourself ain't an object. Hell, my puppy dog, my little puppy dog has far more self-awareness than you, obviously. He's aware that he exists. He's aware that he's a self. You're not. Well, I'm sure it's almost altogether unlikely.
Pastor, do you think that by personally insulting me, you're winning this debate?
I would say that the point of the matter is that, you know, you're just like every other little wigger that I've had debate for. Occasionally, I go ahead, and I'm the one who's been on the initiative.
Okay, what issue?
You've gone ahead, you've won.
Do you think
you've won? I would say about everyone. It doesn't really matter. See, that's why I go into debate with complete confidence, because even if I lose, if I go ahead and create far more hatred to where there is no solution, and essentially the only solution is violence.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, I would, because I'm the one who wants the Great Tribulation. You're the one who wants, to go ahead and pack God together.
I want
so
to
you can
peace.
Go ahead and enjoy your law degree some more.
No, I want to create peace because I think that is what Jesus wants me to do.
Okay.
I would say all this peace is chaos.
Faster.
At least we have, may I say one thing?
Yeah.
Can I have 13 seconds?
Go ahead.
I believe we have framed the point of friction. The friction is, does Jesus want us to bring on the tribulation or not? Do you not agree, Pastor, that is what we are debating?
No, because the Great Tribulation will happen whether or not you like it or not. It's happening now.
No, but don't you think it your position that
peace.
Jesus wants us to bring on the tribulation? Because you're serving
well,
Jesus.
Let's stop for us here. What happens is that you are a middle-class female, older, female lawyer wigger who wants peace here, to where I guess we can go ahead and pour another 50, 60 million more beaters here and essentially hope that somehow...
Okay, I think, Jim, if you want to close the debate, I think we can.
All right. One thing, Pastor Lentz, that you've repeated several times here has to do with Edgar Steele. And you cite my hatred of him. That's too strong a term. I really don't care for him. I just don't like him. I don't get a good sense of him as a man. But in spite of that, there's a lot of things about the case. If I'm looking at it just objectively, and I totally get where you're coming from. You wouldn't care if he had killed them all and just get away with it. But in my perfect world, where it's only white people, if Edgar Steele were to try to kill his wife in a plot like that, I would cut his head off. And I'd just take him out and cut his head off. So there wouldn't even be a trial. I mean, if we found out about it, we'd cut Edgar Steele's head off. And that's the way I look at it in terms of justice. You and I just look at the justice thing different.
Can I respond to that?
Yeah.
Or you want to go ahead and finish?
No.
The fact of the matter is that I actually do think Edgar Steele is innocent. Essentially, Harold Covington tried to go ahead and mention the same thing, although not as strongly as I have. And, me and Harold Covington, we have been friends, we have fallen out, been big enemies, and last year, I wanted to go ahead and bring him back into the movement as opposed to his, Yahoo ghettos. But, the fact of the matter is that the federal government is not the normal ones who go ahead and look after people who are going ahead and plotting to murder their husband or wife for hire. The fact that the FBI is there. Second of all, I think Edgar Steele didn't do it, and it's based upon, I would say I probably know Edgar Steele better than you, because at least he went ahead and sent me a book about Q Martin, Q Character Account, for an honest review of it, and he did not like my review. He did not like my review. I pretty well just, said, hey, Edgar, you whipped the wiggers up real good, but you did not do a damn thing for me. the other thing is that with the whole thing, I mean, this so-called Aryan Nations, the thing is that Zog has tried to go ahead and infiltrate the Aryan Nations for a long time because they're scared. Crap, listen about Christian and Nancy, because essentially what we stand for is revolution, and not only revolution, essentially the end of the world as they know it. And, you know, essentially our way of going ahead is you're on one side or the other, and we would probably routinely go ahead and exterminate lawyers and judges and policemen. I know I certainly would. And anybody who's a government worker, because, as I said before, I mean, we can't go ahead and imprison 140 million Uyghurs. They need to go ahead and die. We've already gone ahead and discussed that. But in the case of this Aryan Nation, in the case of this Aryan Nations thing, the only Aryan Nations faction I know that's still running up in Idaho is Gerald O'Brien's faction, and supposedly I'm listed as a leader of an Aryan Nations faction. And I don't go ahead and accept $25 and make people a captain or a major or something like that here. But Gerald O'Brien, he's just like Trader Glenn Miller. He goes ahead, he accepts some money, he prints some literature, and that's pretty well what ends up going ahead and being done. So there is no real Aryan Nations faction to go ahead and deal with. And like I've been trying to tell people, Edgar Steele is by no means Aryan Nations. In fact, most Christian identity people think that Edgar Steele, I mean,
Pastor
Lindsay,
Pastor Lindsay, you've given Mona a hard time about being a lawyer. Why not give Edgar Steele the same hard time? He's a lawyer, too.
The fact of the matter is that chances are, just like I told, you went ahead and interviewed this Richard Levins here. I went ahead and told that pig here. Ken Copeland, sheriff, is that if I went ahead and told, there was this Lieutenant During, there was this Captain Levins, there was Sergeant Chu, and I said, what happens is that Levins and During would skin you alive to go ahead and curry favor with me if I told them that I left you live, and they wouldn't shed a tear, but Chu would go ahead and cry before he went ahead and skinned you and your family alive. The fact of the matter is that in some cases...
You are an Indian, aren't you? You have American Indian blood, don't you?
Am I right?
I know, because I'm a geneticist. You have a lot of American Indian blood in you. Am I right?
No, stupid bitch. You are absolutely incorrect. I'm from South Dakota.
Are you sure?
Yes. Well, what happens is that I would say you got a bunch of Jew blood in you. What happens is you're just a typical Jew lawyer bitch. You probably have a lot of Jew in you, and then you're going ahead and claiming that I'm a man.
Okay, all right, y'all can hold on.
I'm from South Dakota.
Okay, Pastor Lindsay. Pastor Lindsay, what is though? I mean,
sure.
You've given Mona a hard time about being a lawyer. Why don't you give Edgar Steele a hard time? For being
well, like I said, some policemen go ahead and turn. What happens? We probably go ahead and set them to first exterminating the fellow policeman. And what happens? Edgar Steele, as far as I'm concerned, has gone ahead and turned. This Mona is altogether on Zog's side. I mean, she's just another agent provocateur hanging on the wings. Regardless of what the hell she says. I mean, I've seen characters like Mona come and go throughout my time in the bowel movement. She's just another one of them.
I asked April Giddy a question, and there was a pause. I heard something in her pause. I asked her, this thing about was Cindy Steele a bitch? And when I asked her that, there was a pause.
Fine, you're listening for pauses. The problem with April Giddy. But April Giddy used to be known as quite a slut, and me and Pastor John Britton, we used to go ahead and have a taste great left filling here thing to where I'd yell, camel toe, camel toe! And what happens is Pastor John Britton, who knew her a little bit better, he didn't know in biblical sense, would yell, catcher's mitt, catcher's mitt! So what happens is that over the years, April has gone ahead and, gone from being a boy toy to an actual serious activist. So as a result, a lot of us are sort of prepared to go ahead and sort of look back, over what she's become. The thing about it is that April has gone ahead and had a number of scrutiny, and she has understood that she has to be very careful about what she says, and as a result, if she doesn't always dare trust you, she's going to go ahead and try to go ahead and think of the words to where she can't go ahead and be screwed over. And even so, she's still been screwed over by, you know, interviews with the Jew called from the rest here. So essentially, I would say that these pauses are caused by, you know, trouble here.
There weren't multiple. There were no multiple pauses. She spoke freely. There was only one pause, and it had to do when I asked her, was Cindy still a bitch? Now, Pastor, one thing that I find real interesting, and I've given you great latitude here, is what is really effective at the end of the day in terms of winning. I'm interested in taking the enemy out of the fight. That's what I'm interested in. So the question becomes, what is effective? And I just wonder. I don't know. It's an open question. One thing, though, that, see, I'm not absolutely 100% sure Steele is guilty. I just, in my gut, think he is. Now, you complicate things a lot in the analysis because you admit up front you don't care if he's guilty or innocent. You want him to get loose. That complicates the thing. See, I'm trying to argue the matter, and I can't argue it with you because you say you don't care. So if you don't care, it's impossible for me to.
Well, I really don't think that he's guilty. I went ahead and covered this thing. But the thing about it is, just like Harold Covington and April Gates tried to cover, and essentially, Giles, what you do is that it seems to me that you go ahead and ignore what Covington told you and what April Gates told you, and you go ahead and go with this Mona.
Listen,
hey man.
Let me tell you what.
Can anybody hear me?
Yeah. Hold up one second. Let me just make this point. I'm not going. Mona's not the one that talked me into thinking that Edgar Steele is guilty. Hey, is that what you said? Huh? Listen. I came up with it on my own before I even knew who Mona Montgomery was. My blue tick nose says Edgar Steele ain't no good. He ain't no leader. I would beat the snot out of him every day of the week and on Sunday too. He would look at me and turn and run as fast as he could in the other direction. He would think he was in a fight with a mixed martial artist fighter. He is not a leader. And why are you? Hey, you're supposed to be a tough guy, talk bad and tough to a woman like you do now. That's your choice. I've given you that option. But listen, tough guy, you know, we're talking about Edgar Steele. Now, Helen, I'm having a real hard time keeping up my policy of not cursing here. But let me tell you what. Edgar Steele ain't no stud horse. He ain't part of our group. You think this is supposed to be a tough thing? Tough guy? You want to talk tough? And Edgar Steele's supposed to be some kind of model example for toughness. Well, all I'd have to do is get him around the neck, and I'd bring him down, and I'd hurt him bad. You think he's a tough guy? Huh? Come on. See, now you want to talk tough to me. No, listen. Hey, no, you can't. I'm not through yet. You go on about being a tough guy, and you're defending. And, Helen, I tell you what, it's real hard for me to communicate right now. Edgar Steele is a sissy. He is a sissy. He ain't nobody to fall on the sword for, to go all whole hog for, that he's some kind of a perfect savior. Who the rip is Edgar Steele? What has he ever done for anybody except himself? He lives in a rich horse farm up there. I'm living in a ripping trailer. Now, where do you live? How much does your house cost, Pastor?
I bought it for $3,000, 1987.
Steele's a rich guy. You're complaining about Mona taking this. Why the rip y'all get in behind Steele is a mystery to me. Now maybe you want to think. So Mona Montgomery ain't talked me into nothing. I came to this conclusion by myself. So why y'all worship Edgar Steele's a real mystery to me? Because somehow he goes against Zog. Well, you know, I'm getting it from somebody up there in Illinois who's a soybean farmer who sounds like a pretty squared away guy that's been in this thing a long time. John McLaughlin, you know him? Huh?
No, never heard of him.
You've never heard of John McLaughlin before?
No, I've never heard of him. No, he's not Chris Sandetti, is he?
No, he's somebody, though, that somehow got in a fist fight with Geraldo. He's supposed to have been around a long time. He's a big linker.
He got in a fist fight with a Puerto Rican Jew.
Right. Anyway, he told me, do you respect him?
Hmm? I've never heard of him before.
Okay. Well,
he said that he got in a fist fight with a Puerto Rican Jew.
That's surprising to me, because I thought everybody knew who he was. But anyway, he told me that he and Morris Dees got together and they got into Richard Butler's trust and got that money.
I can explain that to you. I can explain that. I would like to explain that.
Listen, I think we're beyond. I've gotten too mad now, and so the way I want to conclude this is to let Hadding talk.
Yes.
Hadding, you have the floor now. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say at the beginning of this thing, what bothered me is people were taking Steele is guilty or Steele can't possibly guilty as a position without really having any basis for taking that position. I've known him for years, and there's no way he could do this. Well, people will surprise you sometimes. You know, just because you have a professional relationship with somebody, it doesn't mean that you know every side of that person. The thing that makes me think that he's probably guilty, of course, is the recording of his interaction with his wife where he tells her to lie. He tells her what she must say. He says, no matter what you think, no matter what you feel, you say this. It's telling her to lie. And he also, because he's telling her that, he's admitting that the recording is totally incriminating. In other words, that means they've got a good case. Are you going to disagree that he tells her to lie, Pastor Lindstedt?
Yes.
Okay.
I went ahead just like Jim, when I first got on Jim Giles, when he first got arrested, I predicted that he would not go ahead and make bail. And the reason that they would do is from a 1987 Supreme Court case where essentially they went ahead and ruled the Eighth Amendment. Didn't matter that as long as you went ahead and claimed that somebody was threatened or the community was threatened, you could go ahead, even if the Italian mobster gave $1 million bond, he was not allowed. It was a 5-4 decision. Now, folks, what I do is that in my case, for this, essentially a pig went ahead and said, the therapist said that that my grandson said that I went ahead and kissed his penis, and the case fell apart at preliminary hearing.
We're not talking about your case.
The thing about it is you end up acting like all these cases. In my case, what happens is, my blue tick nose tells me that Pastor Lindstedt was innocent, and therefore I believe he's innocent. But what happens is the same thing with Edgar Steele. Now, the fact of the matter is that if he was allowed to go ahead and have bond, and his wife did not feel threatened, I mean, the frustration she might have had is that she was not allowed to go ahead and talk with her husband. Now, the fact of the matter is that really, Zolf shouldn't be going ahead and, taping these calls in the first place. Zolf goes ahead and puts snitches. Police do put snitches in there, and then they go ahead and claim that they heard somebody make a confession. This thing happens all the time. So in real life, the proof of the pudding was that he should have been able to go ahead and make bond. And if his wife felt like going ahead and going home with Edgar, and the mother-in-law felt like going home with Edgar, their case would be depend upon a traduced so-called Aryan Nations informant. And, what I was trying to point out is he probably isn't really an Aryan Nations informant, because I'm trying to think of that Paul Mullett used to be up there. But I guess he ran out of money, and I hear that he's pretty well a criminal himself. So he's in Chillicothe, Ohio. So this character probably isn't even an Aryan Nations informant. He's
Pastor Lindstedt, I didn't catch
the fact of the matter is that under the normal law, if his wife decides that she trusts him, If she doesn't believe that story, then her case would go ahead and fall apart. And as a result, the judge, the magistrate judge, goes ahead and says, hey, guess what? You can't go ahead and talk, you can't go ahead and have contact with your husband or wife. And they do that all the time.
Okay, now, what about the claim of the...
Do you see my point?
What you're saying is, I think what you're saying, because you said a lot of different stuff there, I think what you're saying is that Steele is thinking that a simple way to defeat the whole case is just to keep the recording from being admitted. Is that what you mean?
No. I'm saying that if the case was legitimate, the person who supposedly is the victim should go ahead and decide whether or not she feels dangerous, whether she feels endangered. And if she does not feel endangered, she goes home with her husband. Yeah. What happens to her husband?
Okay, that has nothing to do with the question that I asked. The question
is Jim Giles, he says that Mona didn't convince him of anything, Hattie didn't convince him of anything. What happens is Jim Giles has gone across a priori thing to where, guess what? He's going to assume that Edgar Steele is guilty because of what Luke Knoll says he's so. He ignores what April Beatty, and he ignores what Harold Covington, he ignores what I tell him. And essentially, he goes ahead and he picks the two people who say that, Edgar Steele must be guilty. And you both, for whatever reason, you want to go ahead and believe that he's guilty, and you go ahead and judge the evidence to suit yourself.
Martin, he effectively says in the conversation with his wife that the evidence
he does.
Will convict him.
Cindy,
does he say, Cindy,
I want you to lie? Did he say that?
He didn't have to use the word lie. He told her what to say.
So,
whether she believed it or not.
The word is offensively. So, fine. If she doesn't feel guilty, she should listen to her husband, the lawyer.
Hey, y'all.
To go ahead and get Edgar home.
Pastor, I just wanted to say, I employ my instincts. My blue tick nose, that's right. That's all I'm going on. My gut. It's not based on anything other than my gut. My blue tick nose, as I refer to it. That's it. Yeah.
Let me
modify that just a bit. It's not only that. Once I've reached the blue tick nose conclusion, then I sniff around to see what else supports it. And I find other things that support it, several things. But I'm not certain that this incredible conspiracy, and it would be rather historic, didn't occur. That's possible. I admit that. But even April Getty was willing to admit that's a possibility that he did it. I haven't heard you say that yet. Are you willing to say that?
And the answer is that I would never, ever be willing to say that, because essentially you don't question the combatants here on your side. I mean, it would be like if I was Reinhard Heydrich. Essentially, what happens, I end up asking the commander of Einsatzgruppen 666, did you go ahead and kill all those Jews like I told you to? And what happens, he says yes or no, he goes ahead. And essentially, what happens is that I don't go ahead and question, the commands of the MSR. But the reason I called Jim Giles, and, Buck didn't want me to call or, have a big fight with you, But the problem of it is this Mona, Mona isn't really, kicked to the outskirts, because essentially she never was a part of the movement. This Hattie essentially is pretty well revealing his true colors. The problem of going ahead, Jim Giles, and saying that you follow your blue tick nose and then you go ahead and seek confirmation of it, is that essentially everybody's going ahead and look, you know, Jim Giles don't like Edgar Steele. Now he's going in trying to prove he's guilty in his own little form. And the answer of it is it really doesn't matter. But I remember about 2-3 weeks ago when you were going over Stubbland to where this William B. started this Jim Giles as a federal informant. And if you continue, you're going to end up hearing a lot more of that.
Hey, man. Hey, you think that intimidates me? Listen. I've been real generous with your I've been real ripping generous with you. I if you took everybody out there, in terms of who's going, hey, this is called leadership. You know anything about leadership? Who have you ever led in your life? Huh?
Well, I've led pretty well.
Listen, you can. I can barely understand. Let me tell you what. I can barely understand you. I have to strain to hear the words you're enunciating. I don't know if the police crammed your face into the concrete, but it sounds like you don't have any ripping teeth in your head, and you sound retarded. Yeah, I mean, phonetically, you sound retarded. Now, if you could speak the English... Hey, shut up while I talk. If you could speak the English language like Lord Monckton could, then maybe, somebody out there in that big country of ours would say, you know that guy, I want to follow him. By God, I'm going to go kill some people. You just point me in the right direction, and I'm going to get them. But I don't get that ripping sense out of you. You literally sound retarded. So if you want to do the white race a big favor, go somewhere and do something. Just shut up. Because, again, I mean, we're just being honest here. You don't mind if I'm honest, because you seem to not pull punches. Well, I'm kind of that guy. I'm kind of that guy, too. Hey, let me ask you something, Pastor. Do you think if you lived next door to me and you were to throw that threat like you did toward Glenn Miller, you think I'd open the gate? Or do you think I'm bluffing about that? You think I'm just kidding?
I have no idea. The thing about it is that if you're going to go ahead and support Trader Glenn Miller, people will go ahead and judge you accordingly.
No. See, hey, listen. You've been sneaking in here like a little girl. I can tell by some of the words you're using now. I have a strong suspicion some of these emails I've been getting are from you. Now, if you're looking for a fight from me, Pastor, by God, you'll get one, son. Huh? Let me tell you what, son. You can tell. Hey, listen. Shut up. Shut your ripping mouth. Hey, shut your ripping, retarded mouth. You can tell that Cambridge boy.
You're sure.
Hey, listen, you idiot. Listen, you retard. You can't even speak the ripping language. Do the white race a favor and shut your ripping mouth. And you can tell that guy from Cambridge. Hey, let me tell you. What do you mean, or what? What do you think I mean?
What?
Read my mind, big guy. Shut your ripping mouth. Retard. I live at 173 Pear Lane. You got it? Write it down. Mad Dog, I got a question for you. In a fist fight, who do you think would win, you or me?
Well, I think you would. Let me ask you this, Jim Giles. I'm through listening to you.
Hey, I don't have any. You and me are done. You and me are done, boy. And you can tell that Cambridge boy. You tell that Cambridge boy, I'm done with him, too. I'm done with the Christian identity. Hey, let me tell you what. I have nothing else to do ever again with anybody involved in Christian identity. And as far as I'm concerned about you now, You the enemy, boy.
Huh?
Hi. You want to talk about going after somebody?
Fine by me.
Yeah. And you just remember that part.
Christian identity.
What happens is what I'm trying to do is to have you go ahead and declare your life, your allegiances. And, you know, Jim, Roy.
Hey, listen. Your allegiance is retarded English speech.
So I wish you joy of what's her name and the motor, you know, and Hattie. I know you for Alex Linder, but you know, sure, he was right about the motor and the Hattie for once.
Yeah. You just remember that part about who can whip who, as you call me a Zog. What do you call me, a Zog agent? Yeah, are you calling me a
Zog agent, a Zog bot, a road race retard?
He's out of here. All right, folks. Mona and Hedding, y'all
well,
still
I
there?
I wanted to just point out to the preacher that I think we have many issues that we could discuss to great advantage.
Yeah. Well, the path has been set. Any of you other boys out there, because I intend on growing, the pastor ain't going to have nobody following him anywhere. And let me tell you what, Alex Linder. See, I think in a way you would have said, in a much more scholarly way, in a much more intelligible way, you would have said the same things in a rough way against Mona. Hey, listen now, boys. You want a real fight? Y'all are a tiny crowd. And where I'm going, it's going to be... You know, you keep saying that stuff about federal informant all you want. And Cambridge guy, that was a mistake to associate with Pastor Lindstedt like that. Because I thought my blue tick nose let me down a little bit. Who's this idiot? I ain't taking no more calls from nobody. I'm out of here. I'm through for the evening. But I tell you what, I'm real mad now. And you know, I've tried to be nice to some of y'all, but I ain't going to have nothing. I'll do something else. I will stick with my blue tick nose and I'll go hunting elsewhere. I can do without the likes of Martin Lindstedt. That's ridiculous. I mean, he can't even make his point. I was having to bite my fingers to even listen to him speak.
It was a wonderful opportunity to hear that.
It was amusing at times.
Yeah. All right. I'm too mad now, so I'm gonna get off now. Thank y'all. I look forward to talking with y'all again.
Thank you.
Okay. Great.
Bye bye.
Thanks for the wonderful experience.
Yeah, I hear
you.
Bye. Bye-bye.